Blog Talk Radio.
Of you, baby.
not going to be long. You know how I do. You know how I do things. All right, I'm going to tell you what's going on. It's not going to be long. You know how I do. You know how I do things. All right, I'm going to shoot with y'all because, you know, I want these motherfuckers to know who the fuck I am as well. So I get this scam call, and I know it's a scam call, all right? And I know it's a scam call. I get a scam call from some number, and they say, oh, yeah, we have compensated the package, and it's got your name on it, and this is the U.S. Customs, and it says it's the U.S. Customs, and we need you to press number one. So I went ahead and pressed the one because I want, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and play this game with them. So this guy this is HBO with U.S. Border Control. I say, U.S. Border Control? Yes, this is Raul, H. Raul, with U.S. Border Control. Can I get your name? I gave him my name. And he says, can I get your date of birth? I say, well, me, then you must have my date of birth. And then he says, I knew it was a scam. I knew it was a scam because I'm like, these motherfuckers, I'm calling these motherfuckers. I'm answering this phone call, so, you know, of course, it's easy to get to somebody's address while you're talking to them because you got the telephone number, the FAA. The FCC is to have, took a shitload of money to just give out somebody's information. You know, you can get easy information for $20 just by a fucking phone number. I am so serious. You got somebody's phone number, you can be talking on, you don't pay, especially if it's company dollars a month, and they have access to anything. So, of course, they got my telephone number. So, of course, they could type in my telephone number and look up and find my address. So he says, I have a whole lot of phone calls, and I've had that. I am Kamirian Anunnaki, and we here to destroy this whole system that was created. Well, let you know, agents going to be coming to your door with an arrest warrant and information in court docket. I said, what court docket? Oh yeah, they'll be coming knocking at your door. I said, okay, I'll go ahead and play this game. You know, so it's brothers and sisters, understand, overstand. The brother did on the movie Nope, and how he broke down the movie Nope. We're using the gematria information, okay? And you got to understand that gematria plays, and the Puerto Rican gematria was our form of breaking things down long ago. Don't think these white folks just came and created a gematria. We already had. Right. They don't know how to do anything. So he comes in, he says to me, well, agents will be at your door with a warrant and court documents. I said, what court documents? And, you know, they, according to the telephone call, the computer says that there was a package that was confiscated that was supposed to come to me that was delivered, that was confiscated by the customs. And I'm like, what's happening? I don't have any packets, and I haven't been communicating with nobody to receive a package. All right? So you see the games that they're playing, brothers and sisters? These motherfuckers are playing some crazy-ass games. And they're playing very dangerous games with very dangerous individuals. All right? So now I've got to go before counsel. We've got to convene us and see who's behind the entire scheme that they created, because, first of all, they know that they cannot touch print, no matter what the position. They cannot touch a copy print. They already know this. They know where the boundaries are. But they're going to try to put as much fear into any problem as they can, all right? Because I know that thing, all right? And I know that I'm not involved in anything, all right? You got brothers and sisters that are on YouTube, and they're doing some fucked up shit. I am so serious. They're doing some fucked up shit. And there are some, there was one that we know that is currently scared. All right? And this is the time, like on a, hey, what's up? This is like the time when we were watching Star Wars and Anakin began to go bad. All right, when Anakin began to go bad, and they say that he was infested by the Sith Lord, when in reality, a Sith Lord was one who protected this realm. All right, so they had to fuck everything up. They had evil, and the Sith Lords were evil, and they were contagious. And you know they had to pull that line, like the Sith Lords were behind so much evil activity when we were all about protecting. So basically, what they had happened was that the Sith Lord they made it seem like the Sith Lord had contaminated the Darth or the Vader, all right, and made the Anakin. Was tapped into the darkness, and anytime you're talking to the darkness, those who are part of this dark energy are a part of the protectors of this realm. Okay? For one, if you are linked to the dark forces and you have this tapped into this infinite power energy, you are a protector. So if Anakin was linked into the darkness, as he said, he wouldn't be killing the children. So you see how they destroyed the storylines on so many different levels. You know, they had those who were supposed to protect the children killing off the children. And then they had those who were actually evil to be appear to be good, like the Empire. The Empire was supposed to be good, you know, according to them. You know, but they really fucked the storyline up. All right. So the whole thing about it is these beings are scared of what's to come. Now, what do they want from me? They want to feel fear from me, all right? They want to see if I'm going to go into a state of fear, all right? That's the main point that they're looking for. All right? What's going on? You know, that's the main point. They want to see if they can pull fear from me. Fear is an energy. It's an abstract energy. It's not a direct energy. It's an abstract energy. So that's the main thing that they want to see. If they can pull fearing, they can get me to go into of unawareness. All right. And when I say unawareness, it's where I'm so engulfed with fear, I'm not aware what's going on. So they're trying to, these beings are trying to offset the balance of my programs, okay? And that's the main thing that they're trying to do. They're trying to offset the balance of my programs, all right? They're playing with the wrong motherfuckers. You would see in all of their existence, they would know who the fuck was. It's not the fuck with. I ain't the one to fuck with, motherfuckers. I ain't the one to fuck with. It's in trouble. Oh, yeah, want to send warrants and whatever to your house. What warrant? For what? What package? What's going on? What? You know, U.S. Customs. What the fuck? What? I'm a dope dealer now? They trying to say I'm a dope dealer. They trying to say I got dope coming in. You feel me? Hey, what's up, guys? You see the shit that they're doing? This is all designed to try to offset what's going on. But this is bigger than me. I'm a voice, but I am also one who's making decisions. All right? Exactly. They never tell you there was a warrant ahead of time. Exactly. And I know that. You know, that's one thing I know. So I'm like, do you actually think I'm some fools? Do you think I'm a fool? Do you think I'm a dumbass? Yeah. You know, a package that I never knew was coming. And they say, oh, yeah, you know, well, it's just going to be at your house with work. Okay, well, come on. That's what I told them. I said, okay, well, I'll be waiting for them. And they talk on the phone, and I'm like, okay, whoever these motherfuckers is, they're doing a good job to make sure that this system gets fucked up even more. Because they picked the wrong motherfucker to talk to. And now I'm in defense mode. All right? Now I'm in defense mode because I'm like, okay, who the fuck is this here fucking with me? All right? Of course they barking up the wrong fucking tree. You know? Because I'm like, I don't fuck with nobody. All I do is I'm standing on top of everything, and I'm giving out information. I'm leaking into the dark realms. We're working on something that I can't talk about right now, but we're working on something. And I'm like, what the fuck is to call and come calling and play games with me? Oh, yeah, you know, there's a package that was, I don't remember, all right, but some certain things cannot be, these motherfuckers are barking up the wrong fucking tree. Somebody, our customs I got a lot of phone calls. Of course you got a lot of phone calls because you're a fucking scammer. Fuck. You know, identity theft. You know, they get your data for
Robert E. Garrigville, North Corazon, Class, Mike, Magnitude, 4.0, 11 minutes ago.
So vital to your. I'm like, okay, if y'all want to steal my identity, I ain't got shit anyway, you know. I ain't print none of that shit, so y'all can, whatever. But these are the games they're playing. They're playing games, guys. And we're coming to the end days. I did the video that the brother had posted on TikTok about the movie Nope. And the brother really put the puzzle pieces together. Got to realize that everything is a part of this puzzle piece that they created. Everything is a part of a puzzle. And then you can see, yes, it's a part of the puzzle that they have created. And the so-called elite, they say you have money. Someone tried to file taxes in my name. Okay, and got reports on some. Okay, I can understand that. Well, I didn't file no taxes last year or this year. I just filed no taxes. I don't plan on filing any more taxes anyway. So, fuck that. They can kiss my ass. You get enough taxes from me when I go to fucking work. You know, you kiss my fucking ass, motherfuckers. it's the game that they're playing. What do you say? Do something was up. When I was little, watching toys on these creatures from the lagoon, I knew them to be crazy. And like, oh, yeah, of course. You know? Yeah. I mean, so you got to understand that they are in some serious fear. And they want to try to distort as many people as they possibly can. You know? They won't try to fuck up as many people as they possibly can. But, you know, you have a bunch of scammers. So In essence, when spam calls come through, it's best not to answer them at all so that you won't get all upset and mad. But I knew something was up. You know, I had to. I was like, it was like in me just to answer. Let me hit number one to see what they got to say. You know, let me see hit number one. Because, you know, I know nobody is going to call me. Maybe better yet, why don't I just call U.S. Customs myself and see what they got to say. I call U.S. Customs myself. Like, someone called me from your office and said that that you had a warrant and that I had a suspicious package that was confiscated, and I wanted to know what the fuck is going on. You need to motherfuckers on something else. Oh my goodness, how creative can they be? You know, and the whole ordeal is to make sure that we as original beings don't get back into building, creating. They know that we found out the damage that they've done. All right? All these motherfuckers have done damage. These Orientals and these so-called Orientals are not from this universe. They're not from this galaxy. They're from another universe. All right, what they call Asians, the Chinese or whatever, and then they say, "Oh yeah, we came from y'all." You know, that's the first thing they did. They said, "We came from y'all." All of them said, "Oh yeah, we came from y'all." Well, anybody who comes from us is gonna look like us. That's one thing I've learned when you're dealing with biology and science. All right, if you create and you create another chemical to mimic that. Or that mimicking chemical will look just like the original chemical. All right. So we say the messages and downloads are already received. We've been activated. It's over for them, and then they know they can't stop us. No, they. This is the importance of us thinking on, you know, just by thinking on a higher level. That is important. So just by, I know it's tweaking. Just by us linking into this, they're messing with a lot of. Okay, because I'm not getting to nothing on this side here, but I'm glad you guys let me know. All right, but just being to ourselves and starting to have those thoughts of why is this, why is that, why is this, why are we this way here, why are we that way there? You know, just by us thinking on that level of why we are this and why we are that.
Using NLP to manipulate the mind. There are many methods you can use to manipulate someone's mind. You can manipulate minds with emotions, social conditioning, or classical conditioning. This chapter will go through all of these options and tell you which ones best fit your particular situation. The most likely case is that you will use different techniques depending on what you are trying to do. Even if you find yourself only using one or two most of the time, there is a lot you can learn from each of them. So at least give them a try. The emotional angle of mind control. When going through the first foundation of emotional manipulation, we mentioned that state control is not only your ability to control your own emotions, but someone else's. This is where you exploit the subject's emotions to change their mental state. Everything in NLP is much easier when you have control over someone's emotions. You can think of emotions like music. Emotions activate in every part of the brain. No matter who you are trying to manipulate, being able to evoke their emotions is going to help you. It puts you in control of their mind when you can make them feel an emotion at your will. We call our exploration of the topic of emotion. Emotions are not a reaction in an emotional center of your brain, despite what a lot of people believe. Emotions are what it feels like subjectively when we mentally resist something that is happening that we cannot control. We already established this. But now that you have a basis on the latest neurological research, you are ready to go deeper into what we mean by this. The default mode network of your brain is responsible for everything you think about that doesn't have to do with the information you are currently taking in with your senses. Instead, it is where you think about the information you have stored in your memories. It is where you think about what has happened in your life, what will happen, and who you are. The next step in your journey as an emotional manipulator is realizing that this is the heart of your emotions. Look at it in terms of what neural network you use when things are in your control and when they are not. When you are in control, you resist something undesired in your executive functioning network. Let's say you are dealing with a client at work who is less than friendly. If you have developed strong social skills over the course of your life, you know that you can take care of this person in a way that will stop them from being so unpleasant. You will use the executive functioning network because you don't have to think deeply about what you will do to help them. You don't have to get creative with your default network. You already know what you have to do, so it will come naturally to you in your executive functioning network. What if you aren't especially skilled, though? You don't have to be born a certain way to be less skilled in social settings. By nature, social rules are something that is learned. They are not something that we are born knowing. However, if we don't know the social rules, and we don't know how to deal with unpleasant people naturally, we don't use our executive functioning mode. This is because we have to think a little deeper. We have to think a little deeper when we don't automatically know what the right thing to do is. If you feel as though you have no control over the situation with this unpleasant client, you will get mad because you are resisting the things you can't control in your default mode network. This is in stark contrast to when we know how to control the situation and we handle it in the executive functioning network. In the default mode network, we start experiencing the feeling of anger or frustration because we are imagining changing things by force, naturally. But if you don't have the social talents to do this, we still strongly desire to have control over it that we don't have in real life. Executive functioning is where we think through things we have control over because we can see ourselves handling them in our awareness. The default mode is where we imagine taking care of it. It is where we so strongly desire to change what we feel is unavoidable. But the mental tension comes in because we can also see in our executive functioning network that we aren't actually fixing the social situation. This tension between what we are aware of through our executive functioning network and what we desire in our default mode network is the source of emotion at the neurological level. But so far, we have only applied this to controlling our own state. You also have to apply state control to manipulate the subject's emotions. The thing that makes it easier is that it uses the same principles you already know. Simply use your extra sense of empathy to see state control from the subject's perspective, and you are on a good start to manipulating their emotions. The general procedure is to give the subject the sense that there is something they want to control, but can't. As you know, this is the instigator of every emotion. If they believe they are not in control of something, the same thing that happens to you when you feel negative emotions will happen to them. Their default mode network will resist the idea by imagining themselves changing the uncontrollable, while their executive functioning network is cognizant of the fact that they cannot change it. This causes a tension that will result in their feeling a negative emotion. The practice of changing their emotion is the easy part. But where things get more complicated is knowing how to use this in practice for NLP. How does state controlling the subject help you in your goals of emotional manipulation? The answer is actually quite simple. Mainly controlling the subject's emotion is useful because it helps us with framing. You see, when they believe there is something they can't control and they feel strong negative emotions, as a result, it makes them want to change the situation. They are only imagining changing it in their default mode network, but they know that it isn't actually changing. Your job as an NLP manipulator is to get them to first experience this frustration and then guide them on a path to ridding themselves of that emotion. After all, the end goal of changing their emotions is not usually just to get them to feel bad. Maybe this is your ultimate goal, and if so, you don't really need to study further. But chances are, you don't only want the subject to feel bad. You want them to have a new incentive to change their belief or behavior. If they see this uncontrollable situation because of your framing of the truth, but then you show them how they can actually change it by changing their beliefs or behavior, this is how you manipulate their behavior. There are NLP instructors out there who neglect the aspect of emotion in neuro-linguistic programming, and that is a big mistake. It is highly unwise to ignore the things that emotional manipulation can do for us in NLP. By choosing not to tamper with the subject's emotions, you are choosing not to use, arguably, the best tool in your NLP toolkit. We will use an example to illustrate this. Let's say the belief you want the subject to adopt is that consuming meat is not immoral. This belief may not fit with what you would actually want your subject to believe, but the belief itself doesn't matter too much. You can insert any belief here, and it will still work. You already know that your first step to activating your subject's emotions is to frame things to make them think there is something they can't control. In this example, the subject starts out thinking that we should not eat meat. They are vegetarian. You have to use your creative mind here because you have to figure out a frame that fits these stipulations. 1. The subject will be frustrated. There is nothing they can change about it with their current beliefs and behavior. And 2. The subject will realize that adopting your desired belief or behavior is the answer to changing the outcome. However, continuing on their current course of behavior or keeping their present beliefs is not an option. In the case of the vegetarian, practice using your creative mind to come up with a frame that fulfills these two stipulations. Continue reading after you have spent some time on this. To be fair, this one is very tricky without doing some research. Some scenarios can be pretty difficult in NLP, however, so you have to be prepared to do this. Oftentimes, it isn't enough to only know information about the subject. You also have to immerse yourself in the mental world they live in by doing research on the things they are interested in, on the things they care about. For this scenario, you have to figure out something that the vegetarian can't control. Now, as long as your answer fulfills both the stipulations, you got it right. It probably doesn't look exactly like ours, but here is some possible frame. There is a special kind of fat called omega-3 fatty acids, and they are only present in meat. You can get them from supplements, but the research actually shows that you don't get nearly enough health benefits from getting omega-3 fats from supplements. You might also want to sprinkle in all the specific things omega-3s do for your body to make sure they know how important they are. That means their only option for getting enough of it is choosing to change their diet to eat some meat. This fulfills the first requirement of being something they can't control with their current behavior of eating no meat. It also fulfills the second requirement of being something they can change if they adopt the new behavior you want them to have, eating meat. It is only one example, but it is a perfect example of using emotion to mind control your subject. They will be frustrated and even mad at you for pointing out the truth as you frame it, But since it is a scientific fact, they won't be able to get mad at you personally, as long as you bring this up in a courteous and dispassionate manner, that is. Evoking emotions in your subject is actually easy. You just have to be sure you are doing it in a controlled, useful way. It isn't useful to you if you just make them feel depressed or mad in a way that doesn't actually help you manipulate their behavior or beliefs. Remember, use your creative mind to build a frame that 1. Shows them there is something they can't control as they are now, 2. But can be controlled if they adopt the belief or behavior you want them to adopt. The social angle of mind control. Social framing is quite similar to controlling the emotional state of your subject. This is because the seventh foundation of framing and adaptability always follows the same basic pattern. But before you are ready to learn how to do social framing correctly, you need a brief lesson on dark psychology to understand the great impact of the social world on the human mind. This was an experiment done back in the 1930s. These days, there is an organization called the American Psychological Association that controls the kinds of studies social scientists can do. Their main concern is making sure psychologists follow ethical guidelines. These are guidelines such as not lying to study participants for a long length of time, especially not without debriefing them after the fact. There are also more obvious ones, like not allowing them to hurt participants physically or traumatize them. But the APA is a pretty new organization, and they didn't arise immediately after the study of human behavior, psychology, started to be taken seriously. Nowadays, the rules on what psychologists can ethically put their study participants through are quite strict. Many of the studies in dark psychology are, therefore, from an era where these guidelines were not in place, when psychologists pretty much did whatever they could get away with. This 1930s study followed two groups of orphans, many of whom had speech disorders. One group of the orphans went to loving, supporting families. The other group, for the purposes of the experiment, went to families who were intentionally negative and abusive. The ethical concerns are obvious here, but while this was an awful thing to put children through, we can still learn from the experiment. The results teach us much about social psychology. The children who were put in supporting environments often saw fewer issues in their speech disorders, while the group that had the abusive environment had even worse speech disorder issues than the other group. This may seem obvious. You may think, of course, the kids in the abusive environment had more speech issues. But if this is how you view it, you may have to see it from a different point of view. It is common for people to see the results of psychology and think it seems like just common sense. But you have to remember that there is a difference between something seeming like common sense and it being tested scientifically and proven. This study took the idea that you might have assumed, and it proved it. There are a great number of things that people assume about psychology that are not true, so it is useful to look at specific studies like this one and see what is actually proved in experiments. You also have to think about it in terms of scope. Sure, you might expect that the children in the abusive environment didn't improve, but it went even further than that. They got worse than they were before. This shows the importance of social environments for human beings. The impact of a negative social environment for children was so great that these orphans got even worse with their speech disorders. From a neuroscience perspective, you could also say that the kids' brains changed significantly because of the negative social environment. Now, we are not telling you to be as negative towards your subject as these orphans' parents were. Even beyond the ethical concerns, this isn't going to be helpful for your emotional manipulation. Remember, the emotional control part of manipulation is not just to make them feel bad. It is a means to the end of mind control or behavior manipulation. The basic idea behind social framing is making the subject believe that the social environment is different than it is. You want the subject to believe that the social group they want to be part of is doing a certain behavior or adopting a certain belief. Our social standing is so important to us as humans that we will almost do anything to make it better. Of course, you have to be strategic about how you do your social framing. You need to make a claim about this social group's behaviors and beliefs that the subject will believe, and something they won't feel the need to fact check on. If they are suspicious enough of your claim that they will ask a lot of questions, you will have to change the claim you are going to make. Here's an example. You have the opportunity to tell the subject that this social group has your desired behavior at an event both of you go to. One of the most important things for you to do is make sure you bring up this social frame in passing. If you make it too obvious that you really want them to buy this, they are going to be suspicious. Start out having a normal, casual conversation with them. The first few topics you talk about should have nothing to do with the social frame you give them. This will assuage any potential suspicion they will have. But after you have the casual talk out of the way, you can bring up a topic that is somewhat related to your social frame. Maybe it relates to the social group the frame is about. This would be the easiest way to do it. Once this is done, you can casually bring up the social frame as if it naturally came into the conversation. Say it in a monotone voice that won't be questioned, as if you don't care about what they think about it at all. Then, let the conversation move on. If you bring it up with some other casual subjects and act like it doesn't matter to you, this will give your social frame a lot of credibilities. The way you succeed with social framing has all to do with the state control. If you act as it matters to you at all, the social frame will fail. The only way to make sure the subject doesn't question it is with an unwavering, placid attitude. You don't have to treat it like the end of the world if the subject questions the social frame, as long as they don't accuse you of lying, which shouldn't happen in the first place. You really need to make sure you make a claim about this social group that is believable. If they say something like, "I heard something else," then just move on and say you must have been mistaken. They won't think anything of it. This is definitely not what you want to happen, but this is adaptability coming into play in emotional manipulation yet again. How you succeed in your NLP is by playing by ear, adapting to new information as you get it, and not getting so bent out of shape when things don't go as planned. This may be the most important thing for you to learn from this chapter. Things will go wrong in your emotional manipulation. They will not go as planned. You still need to plan so you know what you're going to do, but you should also plan for your plan not to work exactly as you imagined it. This will keep your state control in check. Mind controlling with mirror neurons. The reason you have to learn about neuroscience in this book is to be able to understand what we mean when we go through concepts like mirror neurons. Despite the great implications of this special kind of neuron, the population at large still doesn't know anything about them. You will be complete in your lessons on NLP mind control after you have a strong understanding of what mirror neurons are and how you can use them. We told you that you should not always imitate the subject's unconscious cues of communication exactly. What you do instead is imitate them whenever you can, but take in information with sensory acuity as you interact with them, and let this tell you whether you should imitate them exactly or not. You are the only person who can know if you should imitate them. This book can give you the manipulation techniques, and we can tell you the 7 foundations of emotional manipulation in detail so that you have both practical and theoretical ideas to decide how you should adapt to your subject. But we can't be there when you run into these particular situations. It is ultimately on you to make a judgment call. That's why you will find yourself relying on the 7 foundations heavily to improve your adaptability. They apply to the specific situations you find yourself in because they can fit into the general pattern of manipulation. This aspect of mind control is where the 4th foundation of emotional manipulation comes in. The easiest way to explain mirror neurons is this. When you read a book in which a character eats an orange, and when you eat an orange, your mirror neurons fire in both situations. In other words, mirror neurons are the neurological basis of empathy. The best emotional manipulators are masters of mirror neurons. You just have to understand that your mirror neurons are constantly firing when you are interfacing with someone. When you tell a story to your subject, you are making tons of mirror neurons fire in their brains. They have no choice but to fire these mirror neurons because this is simply what they do. Mirror neurons were found by scientists in the brains of chimps, and they were scanned and found in human beings. Another way to see mirror neurons is that reading about something will fire the same mirror neurons that would fire if you did that same thing. As you might expect, these mirror neurons exist in the default mode network. The fact that mirror neurons exist should tell you one thing. When possible, tell stories to your subject. Of course, you have to make sure it is natural. You don't want to tell people stories they don't want to hear. But if you have the opportunity, take it, because the more you get their mirror neurons to fire, the deeper you will be in the depths of their unconscious. Be sure to apply these lessons of mind control to the next chapter, in which we discuss how these techniques apply to love and relationships.
Royalty, royalty, royalty to all.
Thank you guys for tuning in to another podcast of Hands and Awareness Radio. I'm your host, Haru the Seven Oracle. And I didn't play that. Like, I have not been in control of this podcast since it aired. So as far as the Brother Wisdom clip, which I don't even think it played all the way. But anyway, this podcast is going how it's supposed to go. We are not in control, especially now. So the four agreements, guys, that is the premise of this show. The four agreements. I have not done a four agreement podcast in a minute, and it's very important. I think I know what happened. The EMT mind manipulation needed to be played. All right, where is, let's see. I'll be right back.
Yeah, I know sometimes things may not always make sense to you right now.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
You can see it's a sea of people, some white and some black. for the same cause, no matter the weather. If it rains, let it rain. Yeah, the wetter, the better. They ain't gon' stop us, they can't. We're stronger now more than ever. They tell us no, we say yeah. They tell us stop, we say go. Rebel with a rebel yell. Rain time, we gon' let them know. Stomp, push, shove, mush, fuck, push. Until they bring our troops home, come on. Just come along, follow me as I lead through the darkness. I provide just enough spark if we need. Proceed, carry on, give me hope, give me strength. Come with me and I won't steer you wrong. Put your faith and your trust as I guide us through the fog, through the light. At the end of the tunnel, we gon' fight, we gon' charge, we gon' storm. We gon' march through the swamp, we gon' march through the marsh. Take us right through the doors, come on. Passing it pouring, raining down on us. Marcus outside the Oval Office. Someone's trying to tell us something. Maybe this is God just saying we're responsible for this monster, this coward that we have been powered. This is Bin Laden, look at his head nodding. How could we allow something like this without pumping our fists? Now this is our final hour. Let me be the voice and your strength and your choice. Let me simplify the rhyme just to amplify the noise. Try to amplify time sitting multiplied by 16 million people all equal with this high pitch. Maybe we can reach Al-Qaeda through my speech. Let the president answer high anarchy. Strap him with an AK-47, let him go. Fight his own war, let him impress daddy that way. No more blood for oil, we got our own battle to fight out our own soil. No more psychological warfare to trick us to thinking that we ain't loyal. If we don't serve our own country, we're patronizing a hero. Look in his eyes, it's no lies. The stars and stripes have been swiped, washed out and wiped, and replaced with his own face. Mark now or die. If I get sniped tonight, you know why. Cause I told you to fight. Come along, follow me as I lead through the darkness. I provide just enough spark that we need. Proceed, carry on, give me hope, give me strength. Come with me and I won't steer you wrong. Put your faith and your trust as I guide us through the fog, through the light. At the end of the tunnel, we gon' fight, we gon' charge, we gon' storm. We gon' march through the swamp, we gon' march through the morn. Take us right through the doors, come on. And as we proceed to march through this desert storm, and these closing statements,
it's all gameplay. All gameplay, you guys. Mr. Government, Mr. Senator, Mr. You know, a huge game of Monopoly. I think we know that, but I just we all together, you know, we just complain about shit. Never ever busted a grape. This society, you know, we just want to complaining, and myself included, you know, we want to complain and bitch, and really not, you know, busting the grape about anything, and it's just what we do. So that's just what that is, you guys. Heart chakra balance is very important. It's going to be very important. To each your own journey, you know, to each your own journey. We all do what the fuck we want to do, you know what I mean?
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
All right. right, you guys, what this podcast is about is the four agreements. You guys, there's many podcasts that we've done on the four agreements, you know, with the Old Ear family and everything, but I like to revamp, you know, because, again, Spirituality 101 is the most important class that anyone will ever take. I got to take a picture of my cat. She is so beautiful right now. Look at that, girl. Yes, baby. Hold on. Miss Carol. All right. So, yeah, Spirituality 101 is going to be one of the most important classes that anyone could ever take, you guys. You know, again, to each your own journey, you know, you do it how you do it. But Spirituality 101 is important, and the Four Agreements was one of the books that I read early on in 2010 when I was being reintroduced to the spirituality of things. So I'm going to share with you guys with the first agreement, which is important. Being peaceful with your word, I think, is the first agreement. That's true, too. But, again, guys, if you're walking through this thing of life, do not allow people to, you know, we want fast results. These things take a while to master. Even being impeccable with my word, I had got better and better and better, but then I kind of fell back, you know, and that's because of my chaotic shit that I had going on in the background. But one thing I'm learning in this game of life is judge yourself less, judge yourself less, judge yourself less harsh. But anyway, the first agreement.
The first agreement, be impeccable with your word. The first agreement is the most important one, and also the most difficult one to honor. It is so important that with just this first agreement, you will be able to transcend to the level of existence I call heaven on earth. The first agreement is to be impeccable with your word. It sounds very simple, but it is very, very powerful. Why your word? Your word is the power that you have to create. Your word is the gift that comes directly from God. The Gospel of John in the Bible, speaking of the creation of the universe, says, "In the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God." Through the word you express your creative power. It is through the word that you manifest everything. Regardless of what language you speak, your intent manifests through the word. What you dream, what you feel, and what you really are will all be manifested through the word. The word is not just a sound or a written symbol. The word is a force. It is the power you have to express and communicate, to think, and thereby to create the events in your life. You can speak. What other animal on the planet can speak? The word is the most powerful tool you have as a human. It is the tool of magic. But like a sword with two edges, your word can create the most beautiful dream, or your word can destroy everything around you. One edge is the misuse of the word, which creates a living hell. The other edge is the impeccability of the word, which will only create beauty, love, and heaven on earth. Depending upon how it is used, the word can set you free, or it can enslave you even more than you know. All the magic you possess is based on your word. Your word is pure magic, and misuse of your word is black magic. The word is so powerful that one word can change a life or destroy the lives of millions of people. Some years ago, one man in Germany, by the use of the word, manipulated a whole country of the most intelligent people. He led them into a world war with just the power of his word. He convinced others to commit the most atrocious acts of violence. He activated people's fear with the word. And like a big explosion, there was killing and war all around the world. All over the world, humans destroyed other humans because they were afraid of each other. Hitler's word, based on fear-generated beliefs and agreements, will be remembered for centuries. The human mind is like a fertile ground where seeds are continually being planted. The seeds are opinions, ideas, and concepts. You plant a seed, a thought, and it grows. The word is like a seed, and the human mind is so fertile. The only problem is that too often it is fertile for the seeds of fear. Every human mind is fertile, but only for those kinds of seeds it is prepared for. What is important is to see which kind of seeds our mind is fertile for, and to prepare it to receive the seeds of love. Take the example of Hitler. He sent out all those seeds of fear, and they grew very strong and beautifully achieved massive destruction. Seeing the awesome power of the word, we must understand what power comes out of our mouths. One fear or doubt planted in our mind can create an endless drama of events. One word is like a spell, and humans use the word like black magicians, thoughtlessly putting spells on each other. Every human is a magician, and we can either put a spell on someone with our word, or we can release someone from a spell. We cast spells all the time with our opinions. An example, I see a friend and give him an opinion that just popped into my mind. I say, I see that kind of color in your face in people who are going to get cancer. If he listens to the word, and if he agrees, he'll have cancer in less than 1 year. That is the power of the word. During our domestication, our parents and siblings gave their opinions about us without even thinking. We believed these opinions, and we lived in fear over these opinions, like not being good at swimming, or sports, or writing. Someone gives an opinion and says, look, this girl is ugly. The girl listens, believes she is ugly, and grows up with the idea that she is ugly. It doesn't matter how beautiful she is. As long as she has that agreement, she will believe that she is ugly. That is the spell that she is under. By hooking our attention, the word can enter our mind and change a whole belief for better or worse. Another example. You may believe you're stupid, and you may have believed this for as long as you can remember. Disagreement can be very tricky, causing you to do a lot of things just to ensure that you were stupid. You may do something and think to yourself, I wish I were smart, but I must be stupid or I wouldn't have done that. The mind goes in hundreds of different directions, and we could spend days getting hooked by just that one belief in our own stupidity. Then one day, someone hooks your attention and using the word lets you know that you are not stupid. You believe what the person says and make a new agreement. As a result, you no longer feel or act stupid. A whole spell is broken just by the power of the word. Conversely, if you believe you are stupid and someone hooks your attention and says, yes, you are really the most stupid person I have ever met, the agreement will be reinforced and become even stronger. Now let's see what the word impeccability means. Impeccable comes from the Latin peccatus, which means sin. The im in impeccable means without. So impeccable means without sin. Religions talk about sin and sinners, but let's understand what it really means to sin. A sin is anything you do that goes against yourself. Everything you feel or believe or say that goes against yourself is a sin. You go against yourself when you judge or blame yourself for anything. Being without sin is exactly the opposite. Being impeccable is not going against yourself. When you are impeccable, you take responsibility for your actions, but you do not judge or blame yourself. From this point of view, the whole concept of sin changes from something moral or religious to something common sense. Sin begins with rejection of yourself. Self-rejection is the biggest sin that you commit. In religious terms, self-rejection is a mortal sin, which leads to death. Impeccability, on the other hand, leads to life. If I see you in the street and I call you stupid, it appears that I'm using the word against you, but really I'm using my word against myself, because you're going to hate me for this, and your hating me is not good for me. Therefore, if I get angry and with my word send all that emotional poison to you, I'm using the word against myself. If I love myself, I'll express that love in my interactions with you, and then I am being impeccable with the word, because that action will produce a like reaction. If I love you, then you will love me. If I insult you, you will insult me. If I have gratitude for you, you will have gratitude for me. If I'm selfish with you, you'll be selfish with me. If I use the word to put a spell on you, you are going to put a spell on me. Being impeccable with your word is the correct use of your energy. It means to use your energy in the direction of truth and love for yourself. If you make an agreement with yourself to be impeccable with your word, just with that intention, the truth will manifest through you and clean all the emotional poison that exists within you. But making this agreement is difficult, because we have learned to do precisely the opposite. We have learned to lie as a habit of our communication with others, and more importantly, with ourselves. We are not impeccable with the word. The power of the word is completely misused in hell. We use the word to curse, to blame, to find guilt, to destroy. Of course, we also use it in the right way, but not too often. Mostly, we use the word to spread our personal poison, to express anger, jealousy, envy, and hate. The word is pure magic, the most powerful gift we have as humans, and we use it against ourselves. We plan revenge. We create chaos with the word. We use the word to create hate between different races, between different people, between families, between nations. We misuse the word so often, and this misuse is how we create and perpetuate the dream of hell. Misuse of the word is how we pull each other down and keep each other in a state of fear and doubt, because the word is the magic that humans possess, and misuse of the word is black magic. We are using black magic all the time without knowing that our word is magic at all. There was a woman, for example, who was intelligent and had a very good heart. She had a daughter whom she adored and loved very much. One night she came home from a very bad day at work, tired, full of emotional tension, and with a terrible headache. She wanted peace and quiet, but her daughter was singing and jumping happily. The daughter was unaware of how her mother was feeling. She was in her own world, in her own dream. She felt so wonderful, and she was jumping and singing louder and louder, expressing her joy and her love. She was singing so loud that it made her mother's headache even worse, and at a certain moment the mother lost control. Angrily, she looked at her beautiful little girl and said, "Shut up, you have an ugly voice. Can you just shut up?" The truth is that the mother's tolerance for any noise was non-existent. It was not that the little girl's voice was ugly, but the daughter believed what her mother said, and in that moment she made an agreement with herself. After that, she no longer sang, because she believed her voice was ugly and would bother anyone who heard it. She became shy at school, and if she was asked to sing, she refused. Even speaking to others became difficult for her. Everything changed in the little girl because of this new agreement. She believed she must repress her emotions in order to be accepted and loved. Whenever we hear an opinion and believe it, we make an agreement, and it becomes part of our belief system. This little girl grew up, and even though she had a beautiful voice, she never sang again. She developed a whole complex from one spell. The spell was cast upon her by the one who loved her the most, her own mother. Her mother didn't notice what she did with her word. She didn't notice that she used black magic and put a spell on her daughter. She didn't know the power of her word, and therefore she isn't to blame. She did what her own mother, father, and others had done to her in many ways. They misused the word. How many times do we do this with our own children? We give them these types of opinions, and our children carry that black magic for years and years. People who love us do black magic on us, but they don't know what they do. That is why we must forgive them. They don't know what they do. Another example. You awake in the morning feeling very happy. You feel so wonderful you stay 1 or 2 hours in front of the mirror making yourself beautiful. But one of your best friends says, "What has happened to you? You look so ugly. Look at that dress you're wearing. You look ridiculous." That's it. That is enough to put you all the way down in hell. Maybe this girlfriend just told you this to hurt you, and she did. She gave you an opinion with all the power of her word behind it. If you accept the opinion, it becomes an agreement now, and you put all your power into that opinion. That opinion becomes black magic. These types of spells are difficult to break. The only thing that can break a spell is to make a new agreement based on truth. The truth is the most important part of being impeccable with your word. On one side of the sword are the lies which create black magic, and on the other side of the sword is the truth which has the power to break the spell of black magic. Only the truth will set us free. Looking at everyday human interactions, imagine how many times we cast spells on each other with our word. Over time, this interaction has become the worst form of black magic, and we call it gossip. Gossip is black magic at its very worst because it is pure poison. We learned how to gossip by agreement. When we were children, we heard the adults around us gossiping all the time, openly giving their opinions about other people. They even had opinions about people they didn't know. Emotional poison was transferred along with the opinions, and we learned this as the normal way to communicate. Gossiping has become the main form of communication in human society. It has become the way we feel close to each other because it makes us feel better to see someone else feel as badly as we do. There's an old expression that says, "Misery likes company," and people who are suffering in hell don't want to be all alone. Fear and suffering are an important part of the dream of the planet. They are how the dream of the planet keeps us down. Using the analogy of the human mind as a computer, gossip can be compared to a computer virus. A computer virus is a piece of computer language written in the same language all the other codes are written in, but with a harmful intent. This code is inserted into the program of your computer when you least expect it, and most of the time without your awareness. After this code has been introduced, your computer doesn't work quite right, or it doesn't function at all because the codes get so mixed up with so many conflicting messages that it stops producing good results. Human gossip works exactly the same way. For example, you're beginning a new class with a new teacher, and you've looked forward to it for a long time. On the first day of class, you run into someone who took the class before who tells you, "Oh, that instructor was such a pompous jerk. He didn't know what he was talking about, and he was a pervert too, so watch out." You are immediately imprinted with the word and the emotional code the person had when saying this. But what you're not aware of is his or her motivation in telling you. This person could be angry for failing the class, or simply making an assumption based on fears and prejudices. But because you have learned to ingest information like a child, some part of you believes the gossip, and you go on to the class. As the teacher speaks, you feel the poison come up inside you, and you don't realize you see the teacher through the eyes of the person who gave you that gossip. Then you start talking to other people in the class about this, and they start to see the teacher in the same way, as a jerk and a pervert. You really hate the class, and soon you decide to drop out You blame the teacher, but it is gossip that is to blame. All of this mess can be caused by one little computer virus. One little piece of misinformation can break down communication between people, causing every person it touches to become infected and contagious to others. Imagine that every single time others gossip to you, they insert a computer virus into your mind, causing you to think a little less clearly every time. Then imagine that in an effort to clean up your own confusion and get some relief from the poison, you gossip and spread these viruses to someone else. Now imagine this pattern going on in a never-ending chain between all the humans on Earth. The result is a world full of humans who can only read information through circuits that are clogged with a poisonous, contagious virus. Even worse are the black magicians or computer hackers who intentionally spread the virus. Think back to a time when you or someone you know was angry with someone else and desired revenge. In order to seek revenge, you said something to or about that person with the intention of spreading poison and making that person feel bad about him or herself. As children, we do this quite thoughtlessly, but as we grow older, we become much more calculated in our efforts to bring other people down. Then we lie to ourselves and say that person received a just punishment for their wrongdoing. When we see the world through a computer virus, it is easy to justify the cruelest behavior. What we don't see is that misuse of our word is putting us deeper into hell. For years, we've received the gossip and spells from the words of others, but also from the way we use our word with ourselves. We talk to ourselves constantly, and most of the time we say things like, "Oh, I look fat. I look ugly. I'm getting old. I'm losing my hair. I'm stupid. I never understand anything. I will never be good enough, and I am never going to be perfect." Do you see how we use the word against ourselves? We must begin to understand what the word is and what the word does. If you understand the first agreement, be impeccable with your word, you begin to see all the changes that can happen in your life. Changes first in the way you deal with yourself, and later in the way you deal with other people, especially those you love the most. Consider how many times you have gossiped about the person you love the most to gain the support of others for your point of view. How many times have you hooked other people's attention and spread poison about your loved one in order to make your opinion right? Your opinion is nothing but your point of view. It is not necessarily true. Your opinion comes from your beliefs, your own ego, and your own dream. We create all this poison and spread it to others just so we can feel right about our own point of view. If we adopt the first agreement and become impeccable with our word, any emotional poison will eventually be cleaned from our mind and from our communication and our personal relationships, including with our pet dog or cat. Impeccability of the word will also give you immunity from anyone putting a negative spell on you. You will only receive a negative idea if your mind is fertile ground for that idea. When you become impeccable with your word, your mind is no longer fertile ground for words that come from black magic. Instead, it is fertile for the words that come from love. You can measure the impeccability of your word by your level of self-love. How much you love yourself and how you feel about yourself are directly proportionate to the quality and integrity of your word. When you are impeccable with your word, you feel good, you feel happy, and at peace. You can transcend the dream of hell just by making the agreement to be impeccable with your word. Right now, I'm planting that seed in your mind. Whether or not the seed grows depends upon how fertile your mind is for the seeds of love. It's up to you to make the agreement to be impeccable with your word. Nurture this seed, and as it grows in your mind, it will generate more seeds of love to replace the seeds of fear. The first agreement will change the kind of seeds your mind is fertile for. The first agreement is one you should make if you want to be free, if you want to be happy, if you want to transcend the level of existence that is hell, To be impeccable with your word is very powerful. Use the word in the correct way. Use the word to share your love. Use white magic, beginning with yourself. Tell yourself how wonderful you are, how great you are. Tell yourself how much you love yourself. Use the word to break all those teeny tiny agreements that make you suffer. Just this one agreement can change your whole life. Impeccability of the word can lead you to personal freedom, to huge success and abundance. It can take away all fear and transform it into joy and love. Just imagine what you can create with impeccability of the word. You can transcend the dream of fear and live a different life. You can live in heaven in the middle of thousands of people living in hell because you are immune to that hell. You can attain the kingdom of heaven from this one agreement. Be impeccable with your word. The second agreement, don't take anything personally. The second agreement is don't take anything personally. Whatever happens around you, don't take it personally. Using an earlier example, if I see you on the street and I say, "Hey, you are so stupid," without knowing you, it's not about you, it's about me. If you take it personally, then perhaps you believe you're stupid. Maybe you think to yourself, how does he know? Is he clairvoyant? Or can everybody see how stupid I am? You take it personally because you agree with whatever was said. As soon as you agree, the poison goes through you, and you are trapped in the dream of hell. What causes you to be trapped is what we call personal importance. Personal importance, or taking things personally, is the maximum expression of selfishness because we make the assumption that everything is about me. During the period of our education or our domestication, we learn to take everything personally. We think we are responsible for everything. Me, me, always me. Nothing other people do is because of you. It is because of themselves. All people live in their own dream, in their own mind. They are in a completely different world from the one we live in. When we take something personally, we make the assumption that they know what is in our world, and we try to impose our world on their world. Even when a situation seems so personal, even if others insult you directly, it has nothing to do with you. What they say, what they do, and the opinions they give are according to the agreements they have in their own minds. Their point of view comes from all the programming they received during domestication. If someone gives you an opinion and says, "Hey, you look so fat," don't take it personally. Because the truth is that this person is dealing with his or her own feelings, beliefs, and opinions. That person tried to send poison to you. And if you take it personally, then you take that poison and it becomes yours. Taking things personally makes you easy prey for these predators, the black magicians. They can hook you easily with one little opinion and feed you whatever poison they want, and because you take it personally, you eat it up. You eat all their emotional garbage, and now it becomes your garbage. But if you do not take things personally, you are immune in the middle of hell. Immunity to poison in the middle of hell is the gift of this agreement. When you take things personally, you feel offended, and your reaction is to defend your beliefs and create conflicts. You make something big out of something so little because you have the need to be right and make everybody else wrong. You also try hard to be right by giving them your own opinions. In the same way, whatever you feel and do is just a projection of your own personal dream, a reflection of your own agreements. What you say, what you do, what you think or feel, and the opinions you have are according to the agreements you have made. And these opinions have nothing to do with me. It is the way you see the world. It is nothing personal because you are dealing with yourself, not with me. Others are going to have their own opinion according to their belief system. So nothing they think about me is really about me, but it is about them. You may even tell me, hey, what you're saying is hurting me. But it is not what I am saying that is hurting you. It is that you have wounds that I touch by what I have said. You are hurting yourself. There is no way that I can take this personally. Not because I don't believe in you or don't trust you, but because I know that you see the world with different eyes, with your eyes. You create an entire picture or movie in your mind, and in that picture, you are the director. You are the producer. You are the main actor or actress. Everyone else is a secondary actor or actress. It is your movie. The way you see that movie is according to the agreements you have made with life. Your point of view is something personal to you. It is no one's truth but yours. Then if you get mad at me, I know you are dealing with yourself. I am the excuse for you to get mad. And you get mad because you are afraid. Because you are dealing with fear. If you're not afraid, there is no way you will get mad at me or hate me. If you're not afraid, there's no way you'll be jealous or sad. If you live without fear, if you love, there is no place for any of those emotions. If you don't feel any of those emotions, it is logical that you will feel good. When you feel good, everything around you is good. When everything around you is great, everything makes you happy. You're loving everything that's around you because you're loving yourself. You're happy with the movie that you're producing, happy with your agreements with life. You're at peace, and you live in that state of bliss where everything is wonderful and everything is beautiful. In that state of bliss, you are making love all the time with everything that you perceive. Whatever people do, feel, think, or say, don't take it personally. If they tell you how wonderful you are, they're not saying that because of you. You know you're wonderful. It is not necessary to believe other people who tell you that you're wonderful. Don't take anything personally. Even if someone got a gun and shot you in the head, it was nothing personal. Even at that extreme. Even the opinions you have about yourself are not necessarily true. Therefore, you don't need to take whatever you hear in your own mind personally. The mind has the ability to talk to itself, but it also has the ability to hear information that is available from other realms. Sometimes you hear a voice in your mind and you may wonder where it came from. The mind lives in more than one dimension. There may be times when you have ideas that don't originate in your mind, but you're perceiving them with your mind. You have the right to believe or not believe these voices, and the right not to take what they say personally. You have a choice. Just as you have a choice of what to believe and agree with in the dream of the planet. The mind can also talk and listen to itself. Part of the mind is speaking and the other part is listening. It is a big problem when so many parts of your mind are all speaking at the same time. Each one has different thoughts and feelings. Each one has a different point of view. The programming in the mind, all of those agreements we have made, are not necessarily compatible with each other. Every agreement is like a separate living being with its own personality. All these little living beings create inner conflict because they're alive and they each have a voice. There are conflicting agreements that go against other agreements, and on until it becomes a big war in the mind. The mitote is the reason humans hardly know what they want, how they want it, or when they want it. They don't agree with themselves because there are parts of the mind that want one thing and other parts that want exactly the opposite. Only by making an inventory of our agreements will we uncover all of the conflicts in the mind and eventually make order out of the chaos of the mitote. Don't take anything personally. Because by taking things personally, you set yourself up to suffer for nothing. Humans are addicted to suffering at different levels and to different degrees, and we support each other in maintaining these addictions. Humans agree to help each other suffer. If you have the need to be abused, you'll find it easy to be abused by others. Likewise, if you're with people who need to suffer, something in you makes you abuse them. It is as if they have a note on their back that says, "Please kick me." They are asking for justification for their suffering. Their addiction to suffering is nothing but an agreement that is reinforced every day. Wherever you go, you will find people lying to you. And as your awareness grows, you'll notice that you also lie to yourself. Do not expect people to tell you the truth, because they also lie to themselves. You have to trust yourself and choose to believe or not to believe what someone says to you. When we really see other people as they are, without taking it personally, we can never be hurt by what they say or do. Even if others lie to you, it's okay. They're lying to you because they're afraid. They're afraid you will discover that they are not perfect. It is painful to take off that social mask. If others say one thing but do another, you're lying to yourself if you don't listen to their actions. But if you're truthful with yourself, you'll save yourself a lot of emotional pain. Telling yourself the truth about it may hurt, but you don't need to be attached to the pain. If someone is not treating you with love and respect, it is a gift if they walk away from you. If that person doesn't walk away, you will surely endure many years of suffering. Walking away may hurt for a while, but your heart will eventually heal. Then you can choose what you really want. You'll find that you don't need to trust others as much as you need to trust yourself to make the right choices. When you make it a strong habit not to take anything personally, you avoid many upsets in your life. Your anger, jealousy, and envy will disappear, and even your sadness will simply disappear if you don't take things personally. If you can make this second agreement a habit, you'll find that nothing can put you back into hell. There is a huge amount of freedom that comes to you when you take nothing personally. You become immune to black magicians, and no spell can affect you regardless of how strong it may be. The whole world can gossip about you, and if you don't take it personally, you are immune. Someone can intentionally send emotional poison, and if you don't take it personally, you will not eat it. When you don't take the emotional poison, it becomes even worse in the sender, but not in you. You can see how important this agreement is. Taking nothing personally helps you to break many habits and routines that trap you in the dream of hell and cause needless suffering. Just by practicing this second agreement, you begin to break dozens of teeny tiny agreements that cause you to suffer. And if you practice the first two agreements, you will break 75% of the teeny tiny agreements that keep you trapped in hell. Write this agreement on paper and put it on your refrigerator to remind you all the time. Don't take anything personally. As you make a habit of not taking anything personally, you won't need to place your trust in what others do or say. You will only need to trust yourself to make responsible choices. You are never responsible for the actions of others. You are only responsible for you. When you truly understand this and refuse to take things personally, you can hardly be hurt by the careless comments or actions of others. If you keep this agreement, you can travel around the world with your heart completely open and no one can hurt you. You can say, "I love you," without fear of being ridiculed or rejected. You can ask for what you need. You can say yes or you can say no, whatever you choose, without guilt or self-judgment. You can choose to follow your heart always. Then you can be in the middle of hell and still experience inner peace and happiness. You can stay in your state of bliss, and hell will not affect you at all.
The third agreement, don't make assumptions. The third agreement is don't make assumptions. We have the tendency to make assumptions about everything. The problem with making assumptions is that we believe they are the truth. We could swear they're real. We make assumptions about what others are doing or thinking. We take it personally. Then we blame them and react by sending emotional poison with our word. That is why, whenever we make assumptions, we're asking for problems. We make an assumption, we misunderstand, we take it personally, and we end up creating a whole big drama for nothing. All the sadness and drama you have lived in your life was rooted in making assumptions and taking things personally. Take a moment to consider the truth of this statement. The whole world of control between humans is about making assumptions and taking things personally. Our whole dream of hell is based on that. We create a lot of emotional poison just by making assumptions and taking it personally, because usually we start gossiping about our assumptions. Remember, gossiping is the way we communicate to each other in the dream of hell and transfer poison to one another. Because we are afraid to ask for clarification, we make assumptions and believe we are right about the assumptions. Then we defend our assumptions and try to make someone else wrong. It is always better to ask questions than to make an assumption, because assumptions set us up for suffering. The big mitote in the human mind creates a lot of chaos, which causes us to misinterpret everything. We only see what we want to see and hear what we want to hear. We don't perceive things the way they are. We have the habit of dreaming with no basis in reality. We literally dream things up in our imaginations. Because we don't understand something, we make an assumption about the meaning, and when the truth comes out, the bubble of our dream pops, and we find out it was not what we thought it was at all. An example. You're walking in the mall and you see a person you like. That person turns to you and smiles and then walks away. You can make a lot of assumptions because of this one experience and even create a whole fantasy. And you really want to believe this fantasy and make it real. In your mind, a whole relationship begins from that. A whole dream begins to form just from your assumptions, and you think, oh, this person really likes me. Maybe you even get married in this fantasy land. But the fantasy is in your mind, in your personal dream. Making assumptions in our relationships is really asking for problems. Often we make the assumption that our partner knows what we think and that we don't have to say what we want. We assume they're going to do what we want because they know us so well. If they don't do what we assume they should do, we feel so hurt and say, you should have known. Another example. You decide to get married, and you make the assumption that your partner sees marriage the same way that you do. Then you live together, and you find out this is not true. This creates a lot of conflict, but you still don't try to clarify your feelings about marriage. The husband comes home from work, and the wife is mad, and the husband doesn't know why. Maybe it's because the wife made an assumption. Without telling him what she wants, she makes an assumption that he knows her so well that he knows what she wants, as if he can read her mind. She gets so upset because he fails to meet her expectations. Making assumptions in relationships leads to a lot of difficulties, a lot of misunderstandings with people we supposedly love. Kind of relationship, we can make the assumption that others know what we think, and we don't have to say what we want. They're going to do what we want because they know us so well. If they don't do what we want, what we assume they should do, we feel hurt and think, how could you do that? You should know. Again, we make the assumption that the other person knows what we want. A whole drama is created because we make this assumption and then put more assumptions on top of it.
That is dangerous.
It is very interesting how the human mind works. We have the need to justify everything, to explain and understand everything in order to feel safe. We have millions of questions that need answers because there are so many things that the reasoning mind cannot explain. It is not important if the answer is correct. Just the answer itself makes us feel safe. This is why we make assumptions. If others tell us something, we make assumptions. And if they don't tell us something, we make assumptions to fulfill our need to know and to replace the need to communicate. Even if we hear something and we don't understand, we make assumptions about what it means and then believe the assumptions. We make all sorts of assumptions because we don't have the courage to ask questions. These assumptions are made so fast and unconsciously most of the time because we have agreements to communicate this way. We have agreed that it is not safe to ask questions. We have agreed that if people love us, they should know what we want or how we feel. When we believe something, we assume we are right about it to the point that we will destroy relationships in order to defend our position. We make the assumption that everyone sees life the way we do. We assume that others think the way we think, feel the way we feel, judge the way we judge, and abuse the way we abuse. This is the biggest assumption that humans make. And this is why we have a fear of being ourselves around others, because we think everyone else will judge us, victimize us, abuse us, and blame us as we do ourselves. So even before others have a chance to reject us, we have already rejected ourselves. That is the way the human mind works. We also make assumptions about ourselves, and this creates a lot of inner conflict. We overestimate or underestimate ourselves because we haven't taken the time to ask ourselves questions and to answer them. Perhaps you need to gather more facts about a particular situation. Or maybe you need to stop lying to yourself about what you truly want. Often when you go into a relationship with someone you like, you have to justify why you like that person. You only see what you want to see, and you deny there are things you don't like about that person. Then you make assumptions, and one of the assumptions is, my love will change this person. But this is not true. Your love will not change anybody. If others change, it's because they want to change, not because you can change them. Real love is accepting other people the way they are without trying to change them. If we try to change them, this means we don't really like them. Find someone whom you don't have to change at all. It is much easier to find someone who is already the way you want him or her to be instead of trying to change that person.
A robot.
So that person must love you just the way you are.
Probably
so
a robot.
So he or she doesn't have to change you at all. If others feel they have to change you, that means they really don't love you just the way you are. So why be with someone if you're not the way he or she wants you to be? We have to be what we are.
Because we think
so we don't
we can
have to present a false
it.
Image. Just imagine the day that you stop making assumptions with your partner and eventually with everyone else in your life. The way you communicate will change completely, and your relationships will no longer suffer from conflicts created by mistaken assumptions. One way to keep yourself from making assumptions is to ask questions. Make sure the communication is clear. If you don't understand, ask. Have the courage to ask questions until you are clear as you can be. And even then, do not assume you know all there is to know about a given situation. Once you hear the answer, you will not have to make assumptions because you will know the truth. Also, find your voice to ask for what you want. Everybody has the right to tell you no or yes, but you always have the right to ask. Likewise, everybody has the right to ask you, and you have the right to say yes or no. If you don't understand something, it is better for you to ask and be clear instead of making an assumption. The day you stop making assumptions, you will communicate cleanly and clearly, free of emotional poison. Without making assumptions, your word becomes impeccable. With clear communication, all of your relationships will change, not only with your partner, but with everyone else. You won't need to make assumptions because everything will become clear. This is what I want. This is what you want. If we communicate in this way, our word becomes impeccable. If all humans could communicate with impeccability of the word, there would be no wars, no violence, no misunderstandings. All human problems would be resolved if we could just have good, clear communication. This, then, is the third agreement. Don't make assumptions. Just saying this sounds easy, but it is difficult to do. It is difficult because we so often do exactly the opposite. We have all these habits and routines that we are not even aware of. Becoming aware of these habits and understanding the importance of this agreement is the first step. But understanding its importance is not enough. Information or an idea is merely the seed in your mind. What will really make the difference is action. Taking the action over and over again strengthens your will, nurtures the seed, and establishes a solid foundation for the new habit to grow. After many repetitions, these new agreements will become second nature, and you will see how the magic of your word transforms you from a black magician into a white magician. A white magician uses the word for creation, giving, sharing, and loving. By making this one agreement a habit, your whole life will be completely transformed. When you transform your whole dream, magic just happens in your life. What you need comes to you easily because spirit moves freely through you. This is the mastery of intent, the mastery of love and gratitude, and the mastery of life. This is the goal of the Toltec. This is the path to personal freedom.
All of that. Okay, guys, if you're just tuning in, we're at the top of the hour. We got 1 hour left, and we'll come in. There's one last clip, and that's the four agreement, always do your best. All right, so we're going to play this last clip, and then we'll come in to discuss.
The fourth agreement, always do your best. Yes. There is just one more agreement, but it's the one that allows the other three to become deeply ingrained habits. The fourth agreement is about the action
always
of the first three. Always do your best. Under any circumstance, always do your best. No more and no less. But keep in mind that your best is never going to be the same from one moment to the next. Everything is alive and changing all the time. So your best will sometimes be high quality, and other times it will not be as good. When you wake up refreshed and energized in the morning, your best will be better than when you're tired at night. Your best will be different when you're healthy as opposed to sick, or sober as opposed to drunk. Your best will depend on whether you're feeling wonderful and happy or angry and upset. In your everyday moods, your best can change from one moment to another, from 1 hour to the next, from one day to another. Your best will also change over time. As you build the habit of the four new agreements, your best will become better than it used to be. Regardless of the quality, keep doing your best. No more and no less than your best. If you try too hard to do more than your best, you will spend more energy than is needed, and in the end, your best will not be enough. When you overdo, you deplete your body and go against yourself. Then it takes you longer to accomplish your goal. But if you do less than your best, you subject yourself to frustrations, judgment, guilt, and regrets. Just do your best. In any circumstance in your life, it doesn't matter if you're sick or tired. If you always do your best, there is no way you can judge yourself. And if you don't judge yourself, there is no way you're going to suffer from guilt, blame, and self-punishment. By always doing your best, you will break a big spell that you have been under. Doing your best, you're going to live your life intensely. You're going to be productive. You're going to be good to yourself, because you will be giving yourself to your family, to your community, to everything. When you always do your best, you take action. And it is the action that is going to make you feel intensely happy. Doing your best is taking the action because you love it, not because you're expecting a reward. Most people do exactly the opposite. They only take action when they expect a reward, and they don't enjoy the action. And that's the reason why they don't do their best. For example, most people go to work every day just thinking of payday and the money they will get from the work they're doing. They can hardly wait for Friday or Saturday, whatever day they receive their money and can take time off. They're working for the reward, and as a result, they resist work. They try to avoid the action, and it becomes more difficult, and they don't do their best. They work so hard all week long, suffering the work, suffering the action, not because they like to, but because they feel they have to. They have to work because they have to pay the rent, because they have to support their family. They have all that frustration, and when they do receive their money, they are unhappy. They have 2 days to rest, to do what they want to do, and what do? They try to escape. They get drunk because they don't like themselves. They don't like their life. There are many ways that we hurt ourselves when we don't like who we are. On the other hand, if you take action just for the sake of doing it, without expecting a reward, you'll find that you enjoy every action you do. Rewards will come, but you're not attached to the reward. You can even get more than you would have imagined for yourself without expecting a reward. When you do your best, you don't give the judge the opportunity to find you guilty or to blame you. If you've done your best and the judge tries to judge you according to your book of laws, you've got the answer. I did my best. There are no regrets. That is why we always do our best. It is not an easy agreement to keep, but this agreement is really going to set you free. When you do your best, you learn to accept yourself, but you have to be aware and learn from your mistakes. Learning from your mistakes means you practice, look honestly at the results, and keep practicing. This increases your awareness. Do your best because you want to do it, not because you have to do it, not because you are trying to please the judge, and not because you are trying to please other people. If you take action because you have to, then there's no way you're going to do your best. Then it's better not to do it. Action is about living fully. Inaction is the way that we deny life. Inaction is sitting in front of the television every day for years because you're afraid to be alive and take the risk of expressing what you are. Expressing what you are is taking action. You can have many great ideas in your head, but what makes the difference is the action. Without action upon an idea, there will be no manifestation, no results, and no reward. A good example of this comes from the story about Forrest Gump. He didn't have great ideas, but he took action. He was happy because he always did his best at whatever he did. He was richly rewarded without expecting any reward at all. Taking action is being truly alive. It's taking the risk to go out and express your dream. This is different than imposing your dream on someone else, because everyone has the right to express his or her dream. God is life in action. The best way to say, I love you, God, is to live your life doing your best. The best way to say, thank you, God, is by letting go of the past and living in the present moment, right here and now. Whatever life takes away from you, let it go. When you surrender and let go of the past, you allow yourself to be fully alive in the moment. Letting go of the past means you can enjoy the dream that is happening right now. If you live in a past dream, you don't enjoy what is happening right now because you'll always wish it to be different than it is. There is no time to miss anyone or anything because you are alive. Not enjoying what is happening right now is living in the past and being only half alive. This leads to self-pity, suffering, and tears. You were born with the right to be happy. You were born with the right to love, to enjoy, and to share your love. You are alive, so take your life and enjoy it. Don't resist life passing through you, because that is God passing through you. Just to be, to take a risk and enjoy your life, is all that matters. Say no when you want to say no, and yes when you want to say yes. You have the right to be you, but you can only be you when you do your best. When you don't do your best, you're denying yourself the right to be you. That's a seed that you should really nurture in your mind. You don't need knowledge or great philosophical concepts. You don't need the acceptance of others. You need to express your own divinity by being alive and by loving yourself and others. The first three agreements will only work if you do your best. Don't expect that you will always be able to be impeccable with your word. Your routine habits are too strong and firmly rooted in your mind, but you can do your best. Don't expect that you will never take anything personally. Just do your best. Don't expect that you will never make another assumption, but you can certainly do your best. By doing your best, the habits of misusing your word, taking things personally, and making assumptions will become weaker and less frequent with time. You don't need to judge yourself, feel guilty, or punish yourself if you cannot keep these agreements. If you do your best, always, over and over again, you will become a master of transformation. You are a master of speaking your language because you practiced. Everything you have ever learned, you learned through repetition. You learned to write, to drive, and even to walk by repetition. Practice makes the master. By doing your best, you become a master. Action is what makes the difference. If you do your best in the search for personal freedom, in the search for self-love, you will discover that it's just a matter of time before you find what you're looking for. It's not about daydreaming or sitting for hours dreaming in meditation. You have to stand up and be a human. You have to honor the man or woman that you are. Respect your body. Enjoy your body. Love your body. Feed, clean, and heal your body. Exercise and do what makes your body feel good. Your own body is a manifestation of God, and if you honor your body, everything will change for you. When you practice giving love to every part of your body, you plant seeds of love in your mind, and when they grow, you will love, honor, and respect your body immensely. Every action then becomes a ritual in which you are honoring God. After that, the next step is honoring God with every thought, every emotion, every belief. Every thought becomes a communion with God, and you will live a dream without judgments, victimization, and free of the need to gossip and abuse yourself. The four agreements are a summary of the mastery of transformation, one of the masteries of the Toltec. When you honor these four agreements together, there is no way that you will live in hell. If you are impeccable with your word, if you don't take anything personally, if you don't make assumptions, if you always do your best, then you are going to have a beautiful life. The dream of the planet will be transformed into your personal dream of heaven. The knowledge is there. It's just waiting for you to use it. The four agreements are there. You just need to adopt these agreements and respect their meaning and power. Just do your best to honor these agreements. They are so simple and logical that even a child can understand them. But you must have a very strong will, a very strong will, to keep these agreements. Why? Because wherever we go, we find that our path is full of obstacles. Everyone tries to sabotage our commitment to these new agreements, and everything around us is a setup for us to break them. The problem is all the other agreements that are a part of the dream of the planet. They are alive, and they are very strong. That's why you need to be a great hunter, a great warrior who can defend these four agreements with your life. Your happiness, your freedom, your entire way of living depends on it. The warrior's goal is to transcend this world, to escape from this hell and never come back. As the Toltecs teach us, the reward is to transcend the human experience of suffering to become the embodiment of God. That is the reward. We really need to use every bit of power we have to succeed in keeping these agreements. So if you fall, do not judge. Do not give your judge the satisfaction of turning you into a victim. No, be tough with yourself. Stand up and make the agreement again. Okay, I broke my agreement to be impeccable with my word. I will start all over again. And just for today, I will be impeccable with my word. Do not be concerned about the future. Keep your attention on today and stay in the present moment. You can do it if you live just one day at a time. If you break an agreement, begin again tomorrow and again the next day. It will be difficult at first, but each day will become easier and easier until one day you will discover that you are ruling your life with these four agreements. And you will be surprised at the way your life has been transformed. Always do your best to keep these agreements, and soon it will be easy for you. Today is the beginning of a new dream.
Yeah, B. Talk your shit.
Time to let me upgrade.
How you gonna upgrade me? It's higher than number one. You know I used to beat that block. Now I bees the block.
Let me upgrade.
I hear you be the block, but I'm the life to keep the streets on. Notice you the type that likes to keep them on the leash, though. I'm known to walk alone, but I'm alone for a reason. Sending me a drink ain't appeasing, believe me. Come harder, this won't be easy. Don't doubt yourself, trust me, you need me. This ain't no shoulder with a chip or an ego. What you think, they all mad at me, so. You need a real woman in your life. Taking care.
Diamond.
Versace, Hermes briefcase, Cartier top clip, silk line blazer, diamond cream facial, CBS cufflinks, six star pimp suite, Prada let me upgrade you, upgrade you, Prada let me upgrade you, upgrade you, let me upgrade you, upgrade you, Prada let me upgrade you.
Alright guys, welcome to an episode of Peruse Randomness, right? Let me see. this podcast went out. This podcast was very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
All right, guys. So, for everything that's going on the planet, you know, I'm going to read something. This is from my brother Kevin Douglas. I'm going to read this because a lot of people do not understand, you know, what is going on. Sis wanted to reach in for some reason, and you think this might be because she is. Go ahead. Go, Eternal, go ahead. Do you have a concern, something? Go ahead. We got like 45 minutes left. Go ahead. Come in, Eternal. Go ahead. Everything okay? For some reason, you think this might be because she's in. Go ahead. Oh, there's a lot of interference. That's what I want to say. There's a lot of interference going on with we only got 33 minutes. Damn. There's a lot of interference going on. So that's the reason why your sister can't get in. There's a lot of interference. A lot of interference. A lot of interference. So to be okay with the unexpected and know how to, you know, that there's more than one way to skin a cat is going to be our friend. But yeah, that's the reason why she can't get, well, she can't get in now because it's a past the hour. So she's not going to be able to listen on. If she didn't call in and stay on the line, she's not going to be able to hear until after we wrap up. So what's going on with that? I could always cut the show and then redo another show with her.
I mean, I'm up here whenever you're up here.
So let's cut this one, okay? So let's cut this one and tell her at the 30-minute mark, which is going to be a few minutes, that we're going to do another podcast, and it's going to be and tell her she can call in and stuff like that and tell her, I'll unmute her and stuff. Tell her the focal point is going to be what we need to know in our now moment to help, because a lot of people are on edge, you guys. A lot of people are on edge and they don't know what to do. So that's going to be the focal point of our of this next podcast I'm about to create. So I'm going to end this one, and I'll create another one so she can call in, okay?
Gotcha.
All right. Perfect. All right, guys. Tune in to the next show.